from the New Living Translation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. We loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, August 6, 2025. We'll be finishing up part two in our series, What It Means to Follow Jesus, as Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church covers the topic, We Are Ambassadors. It began last Wednesday. We aired a portion yesterday, and it'll conclude today. It was about an hour and 2 minute message, and I trust you've been blessed by what has been said and shared. Today we're looking at showing God's love by serving people's needs, by showing them respect, and by adapting to them. Here's Pastor Rick Warren, picking up right where we left off yesterday, focusing on we are ambassadors.
The third responsibility of an ambassador. Number one, I must set the example, I must share the message, I must show love. I must show love to everybody. Because if you're an ambassador, you've got to have a big heart. And you got to show love. Why must an ambassador of Jesus Christ show love to everybody? Because God is love. And if you show anything but love to other people, you're not representing Jesus. God is love. Now, how do I show love to the people in my life? The people I work with, my neighbors, my family, my coworkers, my enemies, my boss. How do I do it? Three ways. It's the next three verses. The first way I show love is by using my life to meet others' needs. When you use your life to meet the needs of other people in a practical way, whether it's taking them a meal or helping them with a project or offering them a ride or praying for them or, you know, picking up something at the grocery thing or helping them with a plan or a deal, every time you do practical help to somebody else, you serve others, you're ministering to them, you're showing love to meet their needs. Now, this is what an ambassador does. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul says, we loved you so much. He's talking about the people in this town in Greece called Thessalonica. He said, we loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, that's number two, but number three, our own lives as well. You know, I love watching what our network has done with Haiti. You know, during Katrina, we had over 6,000 churches in our network that were in the path of Katrina. Over 400 of them lost their buildings. And this church took up a $1.7 million offering, and over the next several years, about 3 years, we had over 1,800 people in our church helping in rebuilding a Katrina. We rebuilt about 100 churches, helped on 100 churches. We had over 100 pastors we paid their salaries for because they lost everything, their homes, their congregation, their churches. We said, you're the community builders. We'll help support you and do that. Now those churches are helping in Haiti. That's like a pay it forward movie. You know? Okay? It's like, we helped you, now you help others. And we move, Saddleback moves, has a reputation for moving very fast in the time of disaster. The moment Haiti hit, we immediately took some of that big offering we just had and sent it to help people in Haiti. Because thanks God for the people and generosity of this church, we had some money to help people with. So immediately did that, put up a sign on our website saying, if you want to give, start sending people, took our leaders, what I call my pastors of disasters, and had those guys start coordinating the work of all of the churches in our network and moving very, very quickly. And why are they doing it? Because ambassadors have big hearts. We don't just care about people's souls. We care about their bodies. We care about their minds. Now, if you're going to be an ambassador, some of the time you got to get out of the embassy. Does that make sense? If you spend all your whole Christian life is spent inside the four walls of the church, you're not much of an ambassador. You got to get out where people are hurting, where they're needed, where they're need love, and where they need help and concern. So you got to get out of, into the embassy and into the interior, using my life to meet others' needs. Second way you show love, by giving respect to everyone. By giving respect to everyone. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you are not allowed to be disrespectful to anyone. Why? Because God values every person. Doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, who they've done it with, or how long they've done it, they have the dignity of being created in the image of God. And the Bible says this on the screen, 1 Peter 2:17, treat everyone you like with dignity. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? Treat everyone you agree with politically with dignity. No, it says treat everyone you meet with dignity. That means even the people who voted differently than you. You may not put them down. You may not use sarcasm and slice and dice and use the same kind of words that the world does for people you disagree with. Treat everyone you meet with dignity, love your spiritual family, revere God, and respect the government. That doesn't say respect the government if you voted for them. Maybe you didn't vote for the city council. You still need to respect them. Maybe you didn't vote for the governor. You still need to respect them. Senator, president, whoever, doesn't matter to me. The Bible says respect the government. Why? Because as representatives of Jesus, we show dignity to everybody. Everyone. We show love and kindness. Let me ask you this. Is an ambassador dogmatic or diplomatic? Diplomatic. They don't stay as ambassadors very long if they're not diplomatic. When you find a dogmatic Christian, they are not an ambassador of Jesus. They may be on the radio, they may be on television, they may write books or blogs or whatever. If they're dogmatic, they may be right, but they're wrong. Because they're not being diplomatic. The Bible says we're to do everything in love. We're to respect everyone. Doesn't matter who they are, what they are, what they've done. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but most of the time when I'm not at Saddleback, I'm speaking to people who totally disagree with me. Almost all the time, I'm speaking to groups, and that gets me in a lot of trouble. Okay? I speak to other religions, to atheists, to Muslims, to Jewish, to Buddhist, to secularist, to gay groups. I speak most of the time when I'm not Saddleback to groups who totally disagree with me. Why? Because I am an ambassador. That's my job. And you are an ambassador too. Ambassadors don't speak to their own country. They speak to everybody else who's not in their country. They even speak to their enemies. And we are to show the message with love and kindness. In fact, here's what the Bible says. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. But do it with gentleness and respect. You and I are called to be gentle with everybody and respect everybody. It doesn't matter what they say to me. Doesn't matter how much they lie about me. Doesn't matter how they accuse me. I am forbidden to hate anybody. I am forbidden to retaliate on anybody. I am forbidden to attack back. Why? Because I represent Jesus. And Jesus said, you turn the other cheek. Jesus said, you overcome evil with good. The Bible says you bless those who persecute you. I am forbidden from using the same tactics that people use against you or me or anybody else. Why? Because I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And we are to be known by meeting others' needs, like in Haiti, by loving, respecting everybody. And here's the third thing we're to do. I must show love by building bridges. I must show love by building bridges. Ambassadors build bridges, not walls. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it tells us this. He's talking about dealing with unbelievers. Whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him. Okay, it doesn't matter what he is. Okay? He may be another culture, maybe another race, another language, another political party, another religion, another lifestyle. He said, whatever a person's like, I try to find common ground with him. Why? To be popular? No. Here. So that he will let me tell him about Christ. And let Christ save him. I'm an ambassador. I do this, why? To get the good news to them. And also for the blessing I myself receive when I see them come to Christ. Anytime you see your pastor speaking to any group, whether I've spoken to intellectual groups, in the last couple of years I've spoken at Harvard, at Oxford, at Cambridge, at Jewish University, at intellectual things like the Aspen Idea Center. I've spoken to groups like political groups on every possible side. I've spoken to every possible religion you can imagine. When you see that, you need to understand, I don't have any faith at all in politics' ability to change human lives. Politics can't change a human heart. If I believed it could, I'd go into government, but I don't. You cannot force somebody to be good by a law. It has to be an internal change in their heart. And you need to understand that all these people I speak to, why do I do it? So I can get the good news to them. I'm building bridges, not walls. By the way, how do you know when you're building a bridge? You get walked on. Okay? Count on it. You get walked on. That's what bridges are for. And so you know if you're building a bridge if you get walked on. Now, if you never get walked on, what are you doing? You're not building any bridges. You're only building walls. Walls don't get walked on. Bridges get walked on. And my goal and your goal as an ambassador of Jesus is that we build a bridge of respect and love to everybody so that Jesus Christ can walk across. That's the goal. That's the reason. We try to find common ground so we can do this. Now, what's the reward? We've looked at the role of an ambassador. We looked at the responsibilities. Now, what's the rewards for being an ambassador? Oh, that's good. Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, always work at it with all your heart. Now, I want you to circle whatever you do and all your heart. Now, I don't care what you do. The Bible says no matter what you do, you should be enthusiastic at it. If you work at Taco Bell, you better be enthusiastic about it. If you do gardening, you better be enthusiastic about it. If you do daycare or hospice or you close multimillion dollar deals or you drive a bus or whatever you do, the Bible says whatever you do as a believer, you are to do it with all your heart. You are to do it with enthusiasm. Why? Because you represent Jesus. You're to do it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord, not for people. Because you are working for the Lord. Remember that the Lord will give you, here it is, as a reward, the inheritance he has kept for his people. God has some big plans for you in heaven. He has rewards, he has an inheritance for you in heaven, and he's keeping it there, for Christ is the real master you serve. Now you don't have to like your boss. But you do have to treat them with respect and dignity. And the Bible says, regardless of who your boss is, you're to just do your work as if you're working for Jesus. And that's why you do what you do. Not because you want to please that person, but because you want to please the Lord. And he says, when you do that, it will produce great reward in your life. I want to do something this weekend I've never done before. I want to read from a well-known book. Nice cover, Purpose-Driven Life. Imagine if you were asked by your country to be an ambassador to an enemy nation. You probably would have to learn a new language. You have to adopt some customs and cultural differences in order to be polite and to accomplish your mission. As an ambassador, you would not be able to isolate yourself from the enemy. You couldn't stay in the embassy all the time. You'd have to fulfill your mission, you'd have to make contact with people and relate to them, the people who disagree with you. But suppose you became so comfortable as an ambassador with this foreign country you're in that you fell in love with it and you started preferring it to your own homeland. Your loyalty and commitment would change. Your role as an ambassador would be compromised. And instead of representing your home country, you would start acting like the enemy. You would be a traitor. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. Sadly, many Christians have betrayed their king and his kingdom. They have foolishly concluded that because they live on earth, that earth is their home. It is not. The Bible is clear. Friend, this world is not your home, the Bible says. So don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. God wants us to not get too attached to what's around us because it's all temporary. The Bible tells us those in frequent contact with the things of this world should make good use of them without becoming attached to them. For this world and all it contains is going to pass away. In order to keep us from becoming too attached to earth, God allows us to feel a significant amount of discontent and dissatisfaction in life, longings that will never be fulfilled in your life on this side of eternity. We're not completely happy here on earth because we're not supposed to be. Earth is not our final home. We were created for something much, much better. A fish would never be happy living on land because it was made for water. An eagle could never feel satisfied if it wasn't allowed to fly. You will never feel completely satisfied here on earth because you were made for far more. You'll have happy moments here, yes, but nothing compared to what God has planned for you in heaven. Realizing that life on earth is just a temporary assignment should radically alter your values. Eternal values, not temporal ones, should become the deciding factors for all your decisions. As C.S. Lewis said, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. The Bible says we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what we cannot see is eternal. So it's a fatal mistake to assume that God's goal for your life is material prosperity or popular success as the world defines it. The abundant life has nothing to do with material abundance. And faithfulness to God does not guarantee success in a career or even in ministry. An old story is often repeated of a retiring missionary coming back home to America on the same boat as the President of the United States. Cheering crowds and a military band and a red carpet and banners and the media all welcomed the president home with great fanfare. But the missionary slipped off the same ship unnoticed. Feeling self-pity and resentment, the missionary began to complain to God. Then God gently reminded him, "But my son, you're not home yet. You will not be in heaven 2 seconds before you cry out, 'Why did I place so much importance on things that were temporary? What was I thinking? Why did I waste so much time and energy and concern on what wasn't going to last?' When life gets tough and when you're overwhelmed with doubt, or when you wonder if living for Christ is worth the effort, you need to remember that this isn't your home. And you're not home yet. You see, at death, you won't leave home. You'll go home." Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Dear Jesus, I realize that to follow you means to be your ambassador. That it means to represent you in the world. And I ask you to forgive me for failing in my mission. Forgive me for the times that I have been silent and not shared your message. Forgive me for the times that I have not been a good example. Forgive me for the times that I have been just as unloving as others, and I have returned evil for evil rather than returning good for evil. I want my life to reflect you, Jesus. I want you to use my life to meet the needs of other people. I want you to help me to learn to respect and treat every person with dignity, no matter who they are or what they say to me. I want to be a bridge builder, not a wall builder. And whatever I do, I want to do it with all my heart as you've commanded me to do, because I represent you. Help me to get out of the embassy to reach one more person for Jesus. God, I ask you to give me the privilege of bringing one person into your family this year. I want to reach one more for you. And Lord, I ask you that when times are tough and I begin to focus on what I don't have and what I need, to realize that this life here is just temporary, and that one day I will be with you for eternity. And I want to hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you've never invited Christ into your life, say, "Jesus Christ, come into my heart right now. I want to be on your team. I want to follow you. I want you to be my God, my boss, my manager. I want to learn to love you and trust you in this year and be your representative. Thank you for ending the war. Thank you for offering the message of peace, Jesus. Thank you for offering forgiveness. I ask you to give me that forgiveness. In your name I pray. Amen."
Amen and amen. A great prayer to recite to be welcomed into the family of God, and also a great calling for all of us that follow Jesus to be God's ambassador in this hurting world, to show love by serving others' needs, by showing them respect, and by adapting to them and their needs, all part of us being effective ambassadors. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab and listen anytime. Next Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll be looking at We Are Members of God's Family, Part 3 in the series by Pastor Rick Warren, of what it means to follow Jesus. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.